All right, welcome into our week two edition of the Fantasy Football Waiver Wire podcast. I'm your host, Nate Geary, alongside with Derek Kramer as well. Week one in the books. Week two, we look forward into, as we like to call, buy low, sell high.
It's a tactic that'll ruin some friendships for a couple of weeks, but in fantasy land, it's only a couple weeks. You're going to be fine after the deal is done and you go to the playoffs, and then you can buy your friend a beverage of sorts later on to make amends.
I'll tell you what, Derek, I am okay with losing a friend for 15 weeks if it means winning some money in a fantasy football league.
Because it's about the pride. And again, it, like several times, you see some of the best moves made when you buy someone on a bargain. Now, be careful of the power of a name in these sorts of deals, and if you're one of those people that has that kind of player, abuse the power of a name. Try to get as much as you can out of them because of the fact that they're looking at dire straits early on, and it's not necessarily an anomaly, but a forecast for their season.
Derek, real quick here, just wanted to let everybody know that our podcast is brought to you by Batavia Downs. Try 1 week fantasy football at FanDuel.com/34Rush. Just want to make sure everyone knows our podcast today and our podcast moving forward focus on standard and PPR scoring leagues and the ESPN, NFL.com, and Yahoo verticals. Whereas our 7 to 8 a.m. Breakfast with the Bills show on Sunday mornings, we'll be focusing on one-day fantasy sports. Moving into that, I want to get a little bit into our buy lows right now. And one guy, Derek, that I really want to focus in on is a guy that I think is moving forward could be a potential diamond in the rough player for fantasy teams that in PPR leagues where you've got a lot of receivers, even three receiver leagues and obviously two flex leagues. A guy by the name of Eli Rogers, wide receiver from the Pittsburgh Steelers, owned in only 28.2% of ESPN leagues. Rodgers is a guy that had a lot of hype coming out of training camp. Ben Roethlisberger raved about his ability to get open in camp. Obviously, we know about Antonio Brown's ability to, you know, be able to catch balls in double coverage, Derek, but at the same time, someone else is going to have to step up for the Steelers team, and Eli Rogers has a great week one, 17 points in standard scoring PPR leagues, 6 catches, 59 yards, and a score. This is a guy that I think is going to be targeted in a red zone with a Steelers team that lacks a tight end of any sort right now. Not to mention Todd Haley showed a willingness to throw the ball even ahead in the fourth quarter. So this is, a proponent of a passing offense, and in an offense right now still missing their top weapon, Eli Rogers, for me, my week two sleeper for a guy I think is ultimately moving forward could be a nice little pickup for your team.
Yeah, I mean, the mention that he's loaned in less than 30% of leagues, Eli Rogers is a guy you got to go get. I mean, he's a good sleeper for this week and long-term here. A very quiet name because Antonio Brown does Antonio Brown things. It's its own verb at this point. But like you said, Rodgers is not owned in a large majority of leagues. Go get him because you need to. This is a guy that he's going to win you some contests going down the line, not just this week, but going forward. Absolutely is one of those guys that you got to look at when it comes to a player that's available. You got to go get him.
And easily a buy low at this point, Derek. As I mentioned, he's available and over 70% of leagues right now in ESPN leagues, that is. So a guy that if you have Sammy Watkins and are worried about his production moving forward, whether or not he might be shut down due to that foot injury, or you're a guy who's got Dez Bryant and is worried about his production with Dak Prescott at quarterback, Eli Rogers to me is a nice little player for pickups this week.
Now, my buy low is going to be a little different. It's going to be on the trade market. And it's a guy that week one, he kind of scared you. Giovanni Bernard of the Cincinnati Bengals, a very valuable asset in a PPR league, a guy who can get catches out of the backfield for you because you know Jeremy Hill's not doing it. They face the Jets. The Jets are a pretty stout run defense. They always have been. They always will be. So running backs tend to not do well against gangrene. Gio's still a very large part of that offense. You better go get him while you can, while a fantasy owner is a little sour over what the outlook was based on week one. So yeah. Go trade for him. Dish him some low-end guy, and go ahead and just spoil in the winnings when Gio's getting you catches throughout the season.
I'm a guy who actually sold Jeremy Hill in my league to bring in Theo Riddick, a more passing threat. Again, this is going to be a situation in PPR leagues, Derek, and I think that's a great point, is you want a running back who's going to contribute in the passing game as well. He's really a do-fold guy then for you. So great pick for you this week, and I think someone that moving forward will be a nice little pickup for teams, with who have that guy available in a lot of leagues. obviously Gio Bernard is available in a lot of standard scoring leagues, so somebody to keep an eye out on.
Yeah, and if you have Bernard and you're thinking about trading him, don't do it.
Hold on.
Don't hold on just yet, because it's about buying low and selling high. Bernard's not going to get you much. He's still a name that you can that players can covet, and in PPR leagues, he is an asset still. Hold on to him, put him on the bench, see what happens, and just wait and see approach for Gio Bernard. But based on some matchups, Pittsburgh's not the best defense in the world, so we could see Bernard wake up as soon as right here week two.
Yeah, I've got another guy here, Derek, for you that I see as a potential standout in week two, a guy who's only owned in 7.2% of ESPN leagues, and that's Cole Beasley, wide receiver for Dallas. Obviously, last week we saw Dez Bryant score 2 points in PPR leagues, 1 point in standard scoring leagues. Cole Beasley's a guy that I think's a nice option for a flex play or a two-flex league or a three-receiver league. Beasley hauled in 8 catches for 65 yards. That yields 14 points in standard PPR leagues. He's, as I mentioned, only owned by 7.2% of ESPN leagues. He plays a Washington defense that gave up 300 yards and 3 scores to Ben Roethlisberger last week. Although I expect Dak Prescott and the Cowboys' offense to kind of feature Ezekiel Elliott more this week in an offense that led up over 130 yards to D'Angelo Williams, and I expect Dez Bryant to be featured a little bit more as well. Beasley will continue to be that volume target guy underneath, a guy that can be a nice safety net for a quarterback like Dak Prescott, who is going to look for him extensively. So I expect Cole Beasley to be a guy that can help you, especially if you're suffering on that wide receiver position on your team.
And in a PPR league, Beasley gives you a tremendously, like, far much more value. In PPR leagues, I don't know how I didn't get my words right there. Tremendous amounts more of value in PPR leagues than in standard scoring.
Correct.
He's a guy that's high volume catches, not so much in yards, touchdowns guarantee, but he's going to get his targets and he maximizes them to a great point here. I'm going to flip the script a little bit. I'm going to start going with some sell highs.
Okay.
Carlos Hyde is the master of week one. You'll see it in the fantasy corner on WGR550.com. He's one of my sit-ems this week. Carlos Hyde is one of those guys that he just does well in week one. And then after that, do you know his yards per carry is 3.4 outside of week one in his career? That's not good. It's not something that you want from your fantasy back. So use that nice little 20-point explosion that he gets against the Rams in week one. Sell it. Sell it for what you need. You need a wide receiver. You got some Sammy Watkins, Keenan Allen problems, and you've got Carlos Hyde. Dish him, because guess what? He's going to go back to disappointing, because the 49ers are not a good team. They're going to show that, and Carlos Hyde is going to be one of those guys who once again shows up and is a mirage. He was never there all along.
Derek, I like that pick. For me, I'm going to move on the same and stay at the same position here, except move to the NFC. Well, actually, he is in the NFC. Another NFC division, I mean. That's Ameer Abdullah, running back for Detroit. Abdullah, terrific week one, obviously. 22 points in PPR leagues. Definitely played a part in that passing game. However, his counterpart, Theo Riddick, is a guy I think is clearly their third down back. This is not a running team. Jim Bob Cooter, since coming in, has really emphasized the pass game. They've got three really good receivers, a nice pass-catching tight end, and Eric Ebron. Expect this team, especially this week, I think he's a must-sit this week and is one of my must sits as Ameer Abdullah. They're facing a Tennessee Titans defense that, although got tore up a little bit last week, held Adrian Peterson to just 1.6 yards per carry on 19 carries last week. He only got 12 carries. Theo Riddick, I think, is going to be more emphasized this week out of the pass game for the running back position. Ameer Abdullah, one of my sell highs. You could potentially get a nice player back. Someone is going to see that first week production from Ameer Abdullah. Ameer Abdullah is not by any means a power downhill runner, which I think that they need someone to offset Ameer Abdullah and Theo Riddick, who have similar skill sets. However, I think Theo at this point is their favored third down back and favored guy to get the most targets in a PPR league.
Yeah, Riddick is one of those guys. You absolutely need to. He's a guy that you got to covet. You might actually have to pay a price for Riddick, because he's got a track record. Now he's got a successful track record, and in PPR leagues, he is one of those dominant types of players. I've got one more here on the sell high list, and it's going to shock some people. Devontae Freeman, the Atlanta Falcons running back. It looks like the Falcons want to go by committee. They want Tevin Coleman involved. Freeman still has the power of a name. he still has the power of, hey, last season he was amazing. I took a first-round flyer on Devontae Freeman. What's going on here? Get rid of him. This is one of those guys that is going to be a problem for you throughout the season. It doesn't matter if he's the hot hand. They're going to try to keep it up by a by-committee approach. That is stressful when you are a fantasy owner and you have a star running back put onto a by-committee, and it's not even his fault. Freeman is a very attractive name still. Dangle him and see what you can get. Try to grab the best offer you can for Freeman, because it looks like this is going to be one of those problems. When a coach wants to go by committee, who argues with the boss?
Right, no, and I mean, you're completely right, Derek, except I feel at this point he's almost, his value has lowered so far, and it's an unfortunate thing, as you mentioned, not his fault. Another guy I'm going to look at here at the same position, Spencer Ware. A guy to me who just went off last week, especially in the passing game, 34 points in PPR leagues last week in ESPN.com. A guy where you have now, as you mentioned, a running back by committee. You have Jamaal Charles coming back. They expect back this week. There's going to be a three-headed monster at the running back position. Going to be difficult to own any of them and expect any consistent fantasy play. Spencer Ware, my sell high of the week.
The only reason I will keep Spencer Ware is only if it's a PPR league. He is one of those more attractive players out of the backfield. We don't know what Jamaal Charles is going to be coming back healthy. So he's a stash for a week, because Ware will still get his targets. I do believe that wholeheartedly. So I would hold on to Ware for one more week, then look to Dish, because that's how you take advantage of opportunities.
Derek, let's close week two here with one stardom, one sit-em. I'm going to start with the stardom, Derek, and I'm going to go with Matthew Stafford, who had a terrific week one performance. I'm not sure how much longer Stafford is really considered to be a sleeper guy, but Stafford was only drafted in slightly more than 70% of ESPN leagues. He's still available in many leagues right now. A 25-point performance last week, albeit a weak Indianapolis secondary. That may scare some of the savvier fantasy owners away, but Stafford is a stardom him for me this week against the Tennessee defense, who produced no sacks last week against a shorthanded Vikings team, obviously with Sean Hill at the starting quarterback position. For me, Matthew Stafford is definitely my stardom of the week.
My start of the week is going to be a very, very interesting one here. I like Carson Wentz against Chicago. We saw Brock Osweiler kind of pick it up against the Bears last week after starting 3 of 4 for 6 yards and an interception. He then went off and became a valuable, like he gave nice targets to DeAndre Hopkins, Will Fuller. Carson Wentz is looking to be that same kind of player against weaker defenses. This qualifies for me. I like Carson Wentz, the rookie from Philadelphia, as a stardom at the quarterback position.
He's also got a lot of weapons, Derek, and I think that makes a lot of sense for me as well. A nice pick there from Wentz. Maybe an under-the-radar guy. For me, my sit-em this week, I know I'm crazy, it's Andrew Luck, who had the highest fantasy output last week in week one. You know, what am I talking about? Am I crazy? But he was playing a leaky Lions secondary, similar to Indianapolis. Stock on Andrew Luck is probably back now to where many owners believed it should have been last year, except now Luck travels to Mile High and faces off against one of the top defenses in the league. Wade Phillips knows what they're going to try to do. And let me just tell you, they're not the Indianapolis Colts offensive line. It was definitely a problem going into the season, and I think it's going to continue to be one down the line. I mean, you saw the Denver Broncos defense tee off against a Cam Newton Carolina squad last week in week one. 10 days to prepare for the Colts offense. I really think, and another thing that I think here is the Broncos offensive game plan with Trevor Simeon. It's going to be a grounded out attack with the Broncos. Probably a low scoring game. I'm sitting Andrew Luck week two.
My sit is going to be a little more on the I feel bad for this kind of guy because of how well he did in week one and how he's going to struggle in week two. That's Jameis Winston. I have Winston in one of my leagues. He threw for 4 touchdowns. It was a great, great game from him, but that's Atlanta. The Falcons aren't a good defense, or they are not there yet. The Arizona Cardinals, they're pretty good defense.
They got some decent corners.
They got a great secondary. The one thing that they could use a little more of is a pass rush, but Winston might find some struggles against those kinds of corners. So I'm sitting Winston this week only because of the fact that he's not a bona fide matchup-proof kind of guy just yet. And Arizona, that one's going to spook me. They're going to be a little angry after losing to Jimmy Garoppolo-led Patriots team last week. So they might take it out on poor Jameis.
All right, that concludes the Week 2 edition of the Fantasy Football Podcast with Derek Kramer and me, Nate Geary. Once again, thank you to Batavia Downs. You can try 1 week fantasy football at fanduel.com/34rush. Until next week, Derek Kramer and Nate Geary, this is the Fantasy Football Podcast.